Good morning. Now we're turning to Ruth, the chapter 2, and we'll just read again the opening verses of that chapter. Our Bible study is centered upon a man called Boaz, for in him we most certainly see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 1 then of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman. You know what a kinsman is? Relative, a near relative, in the biblical sense, of her husband's. A mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. We'll only read the one verse. Now, I've been seeking to pick out for you likenesses in the life and person of Boaz to the Lord Jesus Christ. We mentioned that he was of the royal household. He belonged to the tribe of Judah, and particularly to that family in the tribe of Judah that was the royal family. At the very end of the book of Ruth, you will see there that he was the, to use a big term, the progenitor of David. Boaz's son, Obed, was the grandfather of David. So, Boaz was the great-grandfather of King David. So you see, he was right there in the royal family, and of course that parallels him with the Lord Jesus, who was, according to his human nature, the descendant of David, and therefore the descendant of Boaz. We spoke about his name, how that his name, as given us in the New Testament, is very simply, in him is strength. And, oh boys and girls, the Lord is strong. He's mighty to save. There's no other Savior. There's no one else can save us but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is mighty to save. I'll tell you a little story. On the Lord's Day just past, a lady of well over 90 died. She had lived a worldly life, never showed the slightest interest in the things of God, and indeed when she was spoken to, she could cast aside any admonition very lightly, very casually. She had no interest whatsoever in the Lord Jesus Christ all those years. But just 3 weeks ago, God brought her under conviction. Now she was over 90, an old lady, and as a result, she could see him. She was led to the Lord by her son, who had been saved 52 years ago this month. Just 52 years ago before his mother. And he and friends had been praying, but especially him, had been praying for this lady for 52 years. And God saved her. I must say, having known something about her, I had very little hope of her ever being saved. She was so worldly-minded. And yet God saved her. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is mighty to save. The thief on the cross shows us an example of the power of the Savior. The thief had lived for sin and wickedness to a great degree, far greater degree than the lady I've just spoken of. And his sin had now brought him to the place of execution for criminals. And yet there, within minutes of his departure into eternity, the Lord Jesus saved him. I tell you, the Savior is mighty to save. In him is strength. He is our great Boaz. Well, I want to go a little further today, and I want us to look at another feature of this man that is given us in the Word of God. In that verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ruth, it says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. When we look at his name, we are then told that he was a mighty man of wealth. And it's interesting to notice that such was the wealth of Boaz that when the famine came, you remember the famine, you can read about it in chapter 1, the famine that was the cause of Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, leaving Israel. There was no food for them. There was no food for them. And they went away from Israel to Moab. But the famine that drove out Naomi and her husband didn't have an impact upon Boaz. Didn't have an impact upon Boaz. Because in this chapter 2, we find Boaz out in his fields reaping the harvest. Yes, the famine was over, but it's clear that Boaz was not in poverty as a result of the famine, but he was continuing to farm, and he had resources there that saw him through the time of hardship, the time that drove out Naomi and Elimelech. And boys and girls, I want to tell you this. Our Savior is rich. He's rich. And no matter what hardships come upon us, and no matter what difficult circumstances surround God's people, and there do come times of great difficulty, when God's people find themselves surrounded by that which seems to threaten their overthrow and their destruction. But even in times such as that, the Lord is still rich. The circumstances that have reduced the people of God to the level of poverty haven't impacted upon the Savior. He's still rich. And he is still, in those circumstances, able to meet the needs of his people. I'll be coming back to this again, but let me throw this in now for you to understand. I believe that had Naomi and Elimelech, in their time of poverty, during this famine, the poverty that drove them out of Bethlehem and caused them foolishly to think things would be better for them in Moab, if they only had turned to Boaz, for he was the near kinsman of Elimelech, and under God, according to the law, he was the one that Elimelech could have appealed to for help in his distress. But they didn't. They didn't. The point is, boys and girls, Boaz was a man of riches, and his riches were such that he survived the famine, apparently unscathed, not reduced to the poverty that Naomi and Elimelech had been reduced to. No, I want to tell you today that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is rich. There is no limit to his riches. No limit to his riches. On the Lord's Day, there was a verse read out to us by the preacher, and I'll read it to you again. It's a verse I particularly like. It's in Proverbs chapter 10. Look it up, please, because we'll be looking at a few verses here. Proverbs and the chapter 10 and the verse 22. Let your eyes feast upon this. Let your eyes, as it were, take a picture of this. You know, today, with all the wonderful mobile phones that we have, we can take a picture instantly of anything that's before us. Well, long before that, God gave you the ability to take a picture. You can look at this verse, and you can take a picture of it, and it'll be up there in your mind. And you can bring it up and look at it in your mind again and again. So take a picture of Proverbs chapter 10 and the verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. It maketh rich. And here's something. And he addeth no sorrow with it. That's most significant, boys and girls. Let me tell you this. Every pound, every dollar, every bit of man's currency that men come into possession of brings sorrow with it. Now, those of us who don't have very much, we sometimes think, if only I had more money, life would be perfect. But as you get older, you will see in the lives of others that the more money you have, the more sorrow you have. The more sorrow you have. I love watching nature videos. I really do. Those ones where you see the lions hunting in Africa, or other wild animals that do the hunting. The cheetahs, the leopards, the hyenas. And you know what you always notice? Whenever they make a kill, and they're just getting ready to feast upon this big fat deer. What happens? Along comes a host of other animals, and they're determined to eat the deer. And I have watched many a poor old lion just starting, as it were, getting hold of the knife and the fork, and getting ready to cut into the steak. And up comes about 20 hyenas. And that rich bounty that the lion has just come into possession of, he has to fight to defend. And he settles down to take a bite, and in comes a hyena and takes a bite out of his rear end, and he jumps up and has a rush at that hyena, and he goes back then to the deer, and in comes, and so it goes on. And he never gets eaten. And invariably, the lion's driven off by all the hyenas, so that the rich bounty that he had come into possession of was no blessing to him at all. But that's not so with the blessing of God. The blessing of God it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Oh, boys and girls, I hope you ever remember that. Don't long after, don't covet after the riches of this world. They'll only bring you sorrow. They'll bring you sorrow. And men that have businesses, they will freely confess the worries and the burdens and the distresses that their business, even though it's very successful, brings to them. Because like that old lion, they find themselves having to defend their business. Running here, running there, trying to stop this attack upon their business and this harmful development in their business. Oh, their day's just filled. Not with relaxing and enjoying their success, but in defending it. There are many verses in the Word of God that tell us the source of God's riches. I had a whole lot of them written down here, but time's gone. Let me just show you in John's Gospel why it is our Lord Jesus is rich and just how rich he is. Turn to John's Gospel, the very first verses of John's Gospel. That is John chapter 1. And the verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's how rich he is. He is the originator, the creator of all things. All things belong to him. That's how rich he is. You know, I just read the other day how that some scientists, have made an announcement that they have discovered that the universe is, I hope I get the figure right, it'll not be really that important, the universe is at least 5 times bigger than men thought it was. 5 times bigger. And I thought to myself, when these men put out this statement, here are these men who want to tell us how the universe came about, and they don't even know the size of it. They were wrong in the past about the size of it. And now they're having to say, well, we were wrong, it's bigger than we thought it was. And they would try to tell us how it came about, and they deny that God is its creator. Don't you believe these stupid men? Because I'll tell you this. Just wait a wee while, and the same man will be issuing another statement saying, oh, it's even bigger than that again. I believe there is no end to the universe that God has made, and it's an indication of the riches of God. The riches of God. In a moment, all that came into existence at the command of God. That's how rich he is, boys and girls. And he is ready to hear and to answer your prayers. And out of the riches of his mercy and grace, he will make you rich. We have one final verse, and then we're closing. Time's gone. And we're turning to 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians, the chapter 8, and it's the verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. There's an easy reference to remember. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And what does it say? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now you think of that. At the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus humbled himself, even unto death. And the reason for that was, he stripped himself in order that he might bestow on us his riches. And if you are saved today, he has made over his riches, the riches of his mercy, the riches of his love, the riches of his grace. He has made them over to you. Don't ever think yourself poor, boys and girls. And you're invited at any time to turn to the Savior and draw from him some of those riches to meet the need of the hour. Oh, may God give you understanding of these things. Let's bow in prayer then. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, pray today for your blessing. You know the needs of the children here. Lord, may your grace, your calming grace be granted. And Lord, open the eyes, open the understanding of the children, that they may behold the riches of Christ that has been bestowed upon them who believe on him. Answer prayer today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.